That song's a good reminder of the value and the importance of godly examples, and the one that is to be the greatest example within every home, I believe the Bible would teach us, is the father, the husband, the leader of that home. You and I today live in a world that is in need of godly men, in need of godly leadership. The Bible teaches us that the home is the oldest and the greatest of institutions that God has ordained. And I think you are familiar, you've heard me say this before, but as the home goes, so goes the church. And as the church goes, so goes the nation, so goes society. I think all of us could understand, if I say this morning, and not many of us would disagree, that our nation and the Church of Jesus Christ today are struggling. And there is a need today to see those things reestablished and strengthened. The moral fiber of our society is crumbling all around us, and the results are evident. We look at a staggering inflated crime rate as a whole. We see more and more evidence of an increased violence within our society, even here within our own community. Not that long ago, the little store down the road was robbed at gunpoint, and the reality is violence is increasing even around us. There's an increased denial of the truth, and because we have denied the truth, there is a rise of errors within the realm of religion, and society is accepting of all forms of evil and sin today, and we are told not to speak against such evil. The key, though, to helping our society to be strengthened, we understand to be the Church of Jesus Christ. This is the church age. This is the age of grace. And God has given us a powerful tool to fight against the corruption of our society, and that is called the gospel. And you and I are called as a people, as a church, to spread the good news of the gospel, to let our light so shine that we would be salt in this earth, that we would preserve things from corruption. But the key to having a good and a godly church that is able to affect society revolves around good and godly homes. And no home will ever be stronger than the leader of its home, and that being the father. This morning I want to take some time, as it is Father's Day, to give a challenge to us as men, the leaders of our homes, that we would be the men that God would have us to be. I'm going to ask you this morning to take your Bible and go with me to 1 Corinthians 16. 1 Corinthians 16, we're going to consider but one verse this morning. We're going to read it together, and then we're going to bow in prayer. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13, is written, I believe, really for us as men. Paul writes and says, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. Let's pray, please. Our Father, we thank you for this day that you've given to us. We thank you for the opportunity to be able to come now, study together your word, and to discover the truth of it, to receive the challenge of it. Father, we look around our society today and we see it beginning to crumble. We look at the church and we wonder why it is not as strong as it once was. The answer to those questions, Father, really revolves around us as leaders within our homes. You have called us to be good and godly men and leaders, faithful men that we can follow, examples of the believers, even as those two hymns that we sung this morning. So, Lord, I pray now that you would teach us from your word, guide us and direct us. In Jesus' name, amen. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13 gives to all of us men a challenge of what I'll call biblical manhood. Our world today is crying out for leaders. Our world is looking for men who will stand and be counted for. Our world today is looking for men who will not shrink in the hardest of days, but instead will stand firm. that will allow others to draw upon their strength and to draw upon their resolve. That is true within society today. As nations, we look for leaders within our nation, ones who will be able to stand strong, one that we can count on and rest in. But you know, it's true within the church, it's true within our home. There's a need today for men to be men. We live in a day where there's a need for strong leaders and godly examples, as we sung about this morning. We live in a day where men need to stand against evil and false doctrine, where men need to be willing to stand in the gap and protect their families and the church from the corrupting influences of society. We live in a day that men need to heed the word of God and themselves walk in the truth and then challenge others, come follow me as I follow Christ. Galatians chapter 6, 1 Corinthians 16 really gives to us four straightforward challenges as men that I think all of us need to heed, all of us need to evaluate, because it's crucial for the strength of our family, it's crucial for the strength of the church. Look again with me, if you would, at verse 13. Watch ye. Stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men. Be strong. Paul writes and gives to us four simple challenges for biblical manhood. The first is simply this: watch ye. The word watch is a word that means to be alert. It means to keep awake, to stay awake, to be vigilant. So Paul is challenging every man, every husband, every father within his life, within his home, within the church, to be one who is ever watching. The idea of that term is simply this: do not slumber. Do not be lulled asleep. Be alert to what is going on around you. Man, God has called us to be leaders within our home. He has called us to be the one who protects our home. And you and I must watch. Be alert. Be aware. Not lulled to sleep. We ought to be ever ready and watching, on guard, so that we're able to protect those that God has placed under our care. God would have us to be watching, to be sober, to be vigilant, as the Bible says. I want you to hold your place here in 1 Corinthians 16. I want you to look at a couple other places with me and see the same challenge that's given to us. First of all, turn over with me, if you would, to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12 for a moment. In Luke chapter 12, we're going to read verse 35 through 40. We are told to ever be watching, for we know not the hour in which the Lord shall return. Luke 12, verse 35 says, let your loins be girt about, and your lights burning, for ye yourselves like unto men that wait for the Lord when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you, that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. And if he shall come in the second watch, or come in the third watch, to find them so, blessed are those servants. And this know, that if the goodman of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and have not suffered his house to be broken through. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not. We are challenged to understand what the Lord is here saying, to be watching. Why? Because we don't know when the Lord will return. Blessed is that servant who the Lord finds watching, alert, and awake, and prepared for the coming of his Lord. But in order to drive the point home, the Savior says, the man who knew the danger, a good man who would know the danger of the hour that the thief would come, wouldn't have fallen asleep. But he'd been alert. Hey, Dad, husband of the home, leader of the house, do you realize that we have an enemy who is ever lurking, walking about, seeking whom he may destroy? But the wonderful news is Jesus Christ is coming again. So in either way, be watching, be alert, be aware. And Paul says, watch ye. Go back a few pages to Mark 14 for a moment. Mark 14, look at verse 32. Mark 14, verse 32. Jesus says, and they came to the place which was named Gethsemane, and said unto his disciples, sit ye here while I shall pray. And he taketh with him Peter and James and John, and began to be sore amazed and to be very heavy. And he saith unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. Be alert. Don't fall asleep. And he went forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed, if it were possible, the hour may pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away the cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. And he cometh and findeth them sleeping, and saith to Simon Peter, sleepest thou? Are you not watching? Couldst thou not watch but 1 hour? Could you not stay awake for but an hour? Look at verse 38. Watch ye and pray, lest ye enter in temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. We are challenged to ever be watching. Why? That we fall not into temptation. Yes, our spirit is all too willing, but our flesh is all too weak. So the admonition for us is to watch. Peter would say this way in 1 Peter 5 in verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant. By the way, that word vigilant is the same word, watch. Be sober, be watching. Why? Because your enemy, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Men, our first challenge is to be watching, to be vigilant. God has called us to be the one who watches over the home. We are to protect them spiritually. Now, we understand that concept on a physical realm. There's not a husband here, if knew that someone was coming to burglarize or terrorize his home, who would not be up there meeting them at the front door. I don't think he's going to be hiding under the bed and tell his wife to go greet the assailant. If he is, ladies, let me know and we'll take care of him later for you. But the same is true spiritually, folks. We're never be watching. Because there is an enemy, the devil, who walks about seeking whom he may devour. We need to be men like in the days of Gideon. Remember the story of Gideon? God said, I have chosen you, Gideon, from the least of the tribes, to set my people free from the oppression of the Midianites. Gideon's like, okay, Lord, I'll go. I need an army. And God said, fine, we'll gather an army for you. An army of 300 men against hundreds of thousands of warriors. So God went through a process and basically dwindled down that army to just what they were, 300 men. You know what the final test was? Take these men down to the brook and have them get something to drink. You know who God chose to be those final 300 men? Those who didn't lap it up like a dog, but those who put it up into the cup of their hands and drank as they watched. You know what God is looking for today, men? Men who'll watch. Men who are vigilant. Men who are ever aware of what is going on around us. There is a need for watchful men. God, by the use of a few watchful men, is able to deliver many people from the oppression of sin. 300 men with a light and a pitcher were able to do more than thousands of men with sword and spear. Because God can take a few watchful men and do much for His good. The question, men, is this: will you be that kind of man? The challenge is, watch ye. Now go back to 1 Corinthians 16. Let's see the second statement. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. The word stand fast is a word that means to be stationary, to be fixed, to be grounded. What Paul is saying here is, don't slide. We should be anchored firm in our faith. Though the storms assault our faith should never waver. We should never be tossed to and fro. We are standing firm in faith, grounded in the truth. Nothing's going to cause us to move. Colossians 1:23 says it this way: if ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. God is looking for men that are able to stand and be grounded, not moved away. 2 Thessalonians 2 verse 15 says that this way to us: therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Stand fast. Hold on to that which you've been taught. By the way, don't be confused by that word traditions there. It's not speaking of the vain traditions received by your fathers. It is speaking to the truth of the Word of God. Hold fast to those. Don't let them go. If you and I are going to be able to stand as we should, then man, that's going to require that we avoid being corrupted by the influences of the world around us ourselves. We have to be able to stand fast in the faith. We need to be that anchor to which our family is able to come and know that I can stand by my dad. I can stand by the leader of my home because he won't waver. He won't be moved. I may be in confusion, but he will live with some clarity, for he remains true to the Word of God. Stand fast in the faith. That's what biblical manhood looks like. Watching, standing in the faith. Galatians 5 verse 1, stand fast therefore in the liberty where Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. We need men as in the days of Gideon who were watching. But we need men like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego who stood fast in the faith. One of my favorite stories of the Old Testament is found there in Daniel 3. Maybe it's because I can relate with people that are a little bit bold and a little bit brash. I don't know. But I like the way those three young men respond. Nebuchadnezzar the king comes and says, "You did not bow down to my image." I want you to understand, boys. I kind of think he was in that tone. But you understand, if you don't bow down the next time, you're going into the fiery furnace. I love their response. Basically, I'll paraphrase it. Nebuchadnezzar, you can tell us what you want, but we're not going to bend. You want to throw us into the fiery furnace? That's fine. Our God is able to deliver us. But if he chooses not to, that's up to him. But we'll never waver from our faith. Do what you want. So he did. Matter of fact, he turned up the furnace 7 times hotter than it was, and those who threw the men in died because of the heat. And Nebuchadnezzar stands back in all of his glory and array and pride. Look what I have done. Wait a minute. Guys, come here. How many did we throw in? well, three, O King Nebuchadnezzar. How come there's four and one's like the Son of God? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, come on out! I almost think they had it in their mind. Why? It's so much better in here. Why? Because what I believe in my heart is they were walking in the very presence of God, a pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus Christ, a Christophany. What a blessing they had on that day. We need men who are willing to say, do what you will, but I will never waver from my faith. Watch ye. Stand fast in the faith. And then it says this, quit you like men. I love this phrase because I think a lot of people misunderstand it. Here's what it means. It doesn't mean quit like a man. It's not talking about give up in your fight like you do with your wife every other time. That's not what it means. It's the opposite of that. It means stand up and be a man. Men need to be men. And men need to act like men. Now we're familiar with a challenge like this as fathers. Every father at some point comes to a time where he challenges a son to stand up and be a man. They begin to grow, they begin to mature, and the father wants their little boy to act like little men and act like little boys. Now moms have a tendency to hold on a little bit. Oh, he's just so sweet. No, stop that. He's a boy. He needs to be a man. That's what dads feel. And we should. We ought to teach that. Manliness is a good thing. We need men to be men today. And it's sad that we have a society where men aren't men anymore. So when our little boys begin to whine or cry, we say to them, hey, men don't cry. Be a man. Now women all think we're mean when we say that, but it's okay. We're right, you're wrong. Okay? I'm joking for some of you who are getting offended, okay? But I am right. Here's the reality though. I'll give you an old story. I think I've shared this with you before. When we first came, Ben had an opportunity to play paintball for the very first time. He was in grade 4. Ben came to me and said, Dad, can I play paintball? I said, you can play paintball on one condition. What's that, Dad? You're not allowed to cry when you get hit by a paintball. Does it hurt? Yes, it hurts. But you may not cry because boys don't cry when they play paintball. Okay, Dad. I mean it, Ben. Don't cry. I'll be disappointed if you cry. Don't cry. All right, Dad, I won't cry. He came back. I was a proud father. How'd you do? I only cried once. Why is that? Dad, I took one right in the head. That's okay. Now, folks, if you've ever played paintball and you get hit in the head, you're allowed to cry. I don't care how old of a man you are. It hurts. Been there, done it, shed a tear. I was a proud dad on that day. Why? Because my son was a man. You know what? He got hit, and it hurt. And he goes, it hurt. Yes, it does. I think it was the next summer, someone had a brilliant idea during vacation Bible school to put the pastor out in the field and let people shoot him with paintballs. I never saw Lenore beam as much as when they handed her a paintball gun to shoot at me. And I kept saying, why are they letting them get closer and closer and closer to me? I was thankful that Kirk had, you know, the Michelin man kind of coat because I could kind of hide under it. But I tell you what, it hurts. But you know, in a case like that, we want our boys to be men. We need today men who are willing to stand up and be counted for as men. See, our society is progressing further and further into its sinfulness, and there's a need for men to stand up and not hide like cowards and face the problems in front of us. I think of David. All of Israel was cowering in their tents before Goliath, but not David. David cries out, is there not a cause? Saul calls him in and says, "Oh, David, I'm so glad you volunteered. I know I stand heads and shoulders above everybody else, and I've got all this armor, but I'm not willing to go fight because I'm a coward. Take my stuff and you can go. God be with you." David said, "I can't wear that. It's not proved." He grabbed his sling and his five stones and walks out on the battlefield, only to find Goliath to mock him. "Today I'll feed you to the birds." David said, "I don't think you understand how this is going to go. See, my God is on my side. And today I'm going to take your head from off your shoulders with your own sword." And he prevailed. We need men that will be like David to stand up and be men today. In 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 20 it says, "Brethren, be not children in understanding, howbeit in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men." Paul says, quit you like men. Don't shy away. Stand. Don't run in fear. Don't cower in the face of opposition. Stand strong. Be a man. The Church of Jesus Christ needs men who will stand to be counted, not men who will cower in the corner. Will you be that man? Here's the final statement. Simply be strong. Biblical manhood requires that we be strong. It means to be empowered, to increase in vigor. The same idea is used in Luke's gospel when it speaks of the growth of our Lord Jesus Christ as a child. He increased in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. He grew strong. So the challenge is never stop growing. The idea that Paul desired is that each man would continue to grow stronger in the faith and in the defense of the faith. As a church, we have for the last 6 years chosen 2 Peter 3 verse 18 as a major part of our motto and what we're doing in ministry, a growing grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's the challenge for every man, to be ever growing in the Lord. For that to continue, the Bible tells us, 2 Timothy 2, verse 15, that we must study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, but one able to rightly divide the word of truth. Each one must continue to develop his own personal relationship with God. Each one must encourage his family and teach his family and direct his family in that way. Ephesians 6 and verse 10 tells us, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. In Joshua chapter 1 verse 6 through 9, three times God would say to Joshua, be strong and be of good courage. Don't be afraid. God has called us instead to lead. David, when he instructed his son Solomon before he was to take over and rule the nation and build the temple, gave him this challenge, be strong and of a good courage, and do it. Fear not, nor be dismayed, for the Lord thy God, even my God, will be with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee until thou hast finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord. I love that opening statement. Be strong, be of good courage. Solomon, do the work. Don't quit. Stay strong. It's not going to be easy, but do the work he's called to. I've given you an example of men in each of these points, and perhaps the greatest example that I can give about this word to be strong is Caleb. Caleb was with Joshua and the 10 other spies who Moses sent into the land. Caleb with Joshua was the only one who stood and said, let's go now and possess the land. He was 40 years old on that day. The people said, there's no way we go in. We're going home. We're not going into. There's giants in that land. God says, because of your refusal to accept what I have given to you, I am going to send you. You are going to wander in the wilderness, and everyone 20 years of age and older will perish in the wilderness except Joshua and Caleb. 40 years have now passed as they've wandered in the wilderness. They have now come in. They have been conquering the land, and Caleb has been fighting all along. He is 80 years of age. Joshua now comes and he begins to divide the land to the people. And Caleb said, Joshua, I want to remind you something. God has promised me an inheritance in this land. And this is the parcel that I want. See that mountain? Give me this mountain. 80 years of old. I'm not done fighting yet. I'm going to go rid that mountain of the heathens of the land. Joshua, I'm still strong. You know what First Baptist Church needs? First Baptist Church in this day and age, in the world in which we live, in a society going further and further away from God, needs men that will stand and watch. And while they're watching, they will stand fast in the faith. And while they're watching and standing anchored in the truth, they're going to stay there and be men who'll stand up for what is right. And they're never going to cower. They're never going to run away. All the days of their life, they're going to be strong. Why is it that our society is crumbling? Why is it that false religions are dominating in our world today? If you want to break it all down, it goes back to one very simple thought. Men are getting weaker and weaker instead of being stronger. Our families are being destroyed, and we're allowing it to happen on our watch. Here's the thing. God says, I'm looking for men. Today is Father's Day. It's a day to honor men. It's a day to honor those that God has given the responsibility of fatherhood to. What a wonderful privilege it is to be a father. Whether you have one or whether you have five or more, it doesn't really matter. It's a privilege to be a dad. Whether you're a father of boys or whether you're a father of girls, the reality is there's a wonderful blessing of being a dad. And with that blessing comes great responsibility. Because whether or not your children will turn out someday has nothing to do with whether or not the church does enough for you or the Christian school was there for you at every turn. It has mostly to do with the man in the pew at the head of his home. You say, that doesn't seem fair, but that's what the Bible says. So the admonition is, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like a man, and be strong. Men, I trust that you and I can take the challenge, because our world is getting worse and worse, and the only remedy for the wickedness of our society is the good news of the gospel. And the good news of the gospel is only going to spread, and our light is only going to shine, and we're only going to sprinkle the salt, as we should, if we as a church are strong. And we will only be strong as a church if our family is strong, and the only way that family will ever be strong is the man at the helm of that home. Let us, as men, be men. Lead our families, protect them from the influences of this world. Let's pray together, please, as we close. Our Father, we thank you for the challenge of your word. We thank you, Lord, that it's direct to us. Lord, all of us need this kind of a challenge, for we have a responsibility in this present world. We cannot ignore it. We cannot shrink from it. You have called us to be leaders of our homes. So as men, let us be men. Let us stand to be counted for. Let us not shrink from the responsibility. Let us stand fast in our faith. And let us be strong. And may we be able to say to our family and those around us who are ever watching us, follow me as I follow Christ. Father, we'll thank you and praise you for the work that you can do in our hearts today. In Jesus' name, amen.